know yourself inside out and you have to follow your instinct. You know you better than anyone else. And I'm saying that from the age of 56.
Now, Sally actually is the whole inspiration for this podcast. I first met Sally in May of 2022 during the charity awards evening for the Millionaire Ambulance Charity. During this whole evening, awards are handed out and presentations made about the charity and all the success they've had in that last year, which is a great thing to be invited to and see. Actually, part of the evening, I was invited on stage to accept the Young Fundraiser Award of that year. I had no idea that I was going to be accepted for this award. It was a great pleasure. Also, the greater pleasure of the evening was being sat next to Sally for the whole night. I got to chat to her about how she achieved her goals in presenting her career and how she actually had a different outlook to most people that had given me advice before. This really changed my shape of how I can enter the industries that I wanted to go into, such as presenting. And that's why she inspired me to first make this podcast. Sally's a TV presenter, author, life coach, and a public speaker, just to name a few. You may ask her why she's so positive. That why being is because of what she's had to go through, sadly, in the last 15 years. Sally has had to endure 6 heart attacks, and from that, many, many complications that have come with it, nearly leading to her having to lose her life. But she stayed positive throughout that and shared that with such a wide community of people. I was very lucky to have a little 20 minutes of her because she is such a busy person and her schedule is full the whole time, which inspires me greatly. Her wide community really do appreciate her, and I do as well. So enjoy the little 20 minute clip or so with the legend and life coach that is Sally B. Sally, I want to take it back at the real start for you. Before you even had the first problems to your heart, what was life like for you, you know, in your 20s, before all this life-changing stuff happened to you?
Busy, Henry, really busy. I was a jobbing actress, which means not a very good actress. And I was a presenter. I was probably a bit better at presenting than I was acting. And I was busy. I was running all over the place. And I never for one moment thought about anything going wrong in my life. You know, I just never thought ahead of what I was going to wear tonight, kind of thing, really.
Yeah. And so we're going towards now, you're 36 years old, you've got a 9-month-old baby, if that's correct, at a birthday party, and suddenly you describe it, a black cloud coming over you, and, you know, you even describe it as worse than giving birth to 3 children. So describe us what the first sort of thing happened towards your heart problems.
Well, it was so completely out of the blue. I had no idea what was happening, and certainly didn't expect it. And yeah, I had 3 kids under the age of 5 at the time. I had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 9-month-old baby girl. And I was at a kid's birthday party, and this pain just hit me out of the blue. And I just felt, I talk about a feeling of impending doom. It's like this big, you know, if you're going to get a flu or something and you get that creepy, crawly feeling in your body, it was like that times by 10 million. And it came very quickly. And then the next thing I knew, I was down on the floor, struggling to breathe. And although we didn't realise it at the time, that was the first of my first 3 heart attacks.
Absolutely. So you're sent home after an ECG and they sort of said it was okay. But a couple of days later, it all comes back, doesn't it?
Yeah, it all happened again, which is a real shock. I mean, I was sent home with indigestion medicine, and because I was only 36, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I was very fit and healthy and well, so we thought. They just looked at me and said, we can't imagine you're having a heart attack. So at one stage, I had 3 doctors standing around me saying, well, the ECG is telling us you've had a heart attack, but we don't believe it. So they sent me home with indigestion medicine. But then all night long, I was up with chest pain. It did feel like indigestion. And because I'd never experienced anything like this before, I believed everything that the doctors told me. You know, so if they say my heart's okay, then my heart's okay. So I didn't for one minute think it was that. And then a few days later, the pain came again, back to the hospital. And this time they did the blood test, which checks if your If your heart has suffered damage, it releases an enzyme called troponin, and that gives you a positive reading for a heart attack. And my reading was way off the scale.
Absolutely. So you ended up suffering another heart attack. It suddenly very quickly went crashingly downhill. Very, very scary time for your family. And doctors even said to your husband that you possibly are most likely to die from what happened. We've done a lot on this podcast about the support network of your family. How much did that affected your family? Your husband being told you're possibly going to die, and then him trying to comfort you, and it's all a bit of a messy situation there.
Well, how did it affect him?
Yes. Well, the whole family really, as in.
Yeah, massively. I think they found it harder than I did because, as you'll know, Henry, when you're living in it, when you're in that trauma and that pain, you're just focusing on surviving for you, and you're actually not thinking about anybody else. You're just focusing on surviving. And however, for my husband, for him, he was thinking, oh, goodness, we've got these three kids at home, and how are we going to cope? And, it's not just the critical moment of is she going to live, is she going to die? He's having the trauma of considering what life is going to be like. How on earth is he going to manage? And for my parents were both alive at the time. They've since passed away, but they really were traumatized by it. And then the kids, although they were young, they've grown up with their mum with a heart condition. So it I think I kind of underestimated the trauma that it had, the effect that it had on the whole family.
Absolutely. And you said that that emotion saved your life. You described that on your website and everything. Do you think that's really what pulled you through all of that horrendous time?
Yeah, so well, I talk about because I actually died a couple of times that first night, and they brought me
Really?
back. And they, so I talk about, people, I find it quite difficult to talk about that because it's a very,
Absolutely. Yeah.
it's very difficult. But the one thing I would say is people have said, did you think about your children as you were going? The answer is no, I didn't. It was when I chose to come back that was the reason that pulled me back. And I knew it was harder to come back. It would have been very easy, very comfortable, very warm and floaty to go. It was harder to come back. But it was that emotion that definitely saved me because I've got real, true love for my family. Obviously, I'm a mum, and I do believe it's that that saved me at the time. Because had I not had that, I probably would have thought, okay, it's time.
Well, one thing for me, I think, is being in that hospital environment. It makes you realize how lucky you are as a person, seeing other people, and you describe that yourself as, gave you a bit of a motivation boost to
Yeah,
really keep
definitely.
going.
I mean, the last I was back in hospital a couple of years ago, or maybe that I can't. I get confused now between all
Too much
the
going on.
I've survived six heart attacks now, but I was back in hospital a while ago, and I was so devastated that it had happened again, and I was really, really poorly again. And I can remember looking around the ward, and there was a really old lady that was across the ward from me, and she had a box of Ferrero Rocher that she was handing out to everyone. And I can remember thinking, oh my God, if she can do that and smile at everyone, I can. And this Nigerian guy came to clean around my bed with the biggest, most beautiful smile on his face. And he was just laughing at everything and was just a joy to have around. And I thought, my God, if he's cleaning floors around ill, dying people, and if he can smile and cheer everyone up with this beautiful grin on his face, then I can too. And definitely, I think when you're in, things can be pretty bad, but there is always someone worse off, isn't there?
Absolutely. And that story you just said, that took part. This is 12 years later, isn't it, from the first actual incident? So, you've had all of this to go through, and then you suddenly think, actually, I'm going to be okay. For quite a lot of people, I think this is what makes it harder, is because for quite a lot of people like myself, you have the accident, and then you sort of gradually get better, and then that's your outlook for the rest of your life. Whereas for someone like you,
hats off to you, because it's just very much uncertain what the future is going to be. So
Mm.
obviously, 2016, November 2016, if that's correct.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll take your word for it because I forget.
I have to research it, but November 2016, you said you had another heart attack, which is, I mean, I'm going to try and pronounce this, fibromuscular dysplasia.
Fibromuscular dysplasia, we've now discovered I've got, yeah.
Which also enables you to strokes as well, I believe.
Yeah, it leaves me prone to heart attack, stroke, and aneurysm. So they couldn't, news went from bad to worse, and you probably experienced this. When I had the first heart attack, they said, "Oh my gosh, this is awful, but it's never going to happen again. It's so rare, it's never going to happen again." A couple of days later, it happens again. Oh, well, it has happened again. Whoops. Oh, well, never mind, you'll be okay. Oh, well, actually, you've now got heart damage and heart failure. So we think you ought to be saying goodbye to your family. And it just went from bad to worse. And then it is a very rare condition that I have. And then I've since been on a research program which talks about, has taught me about the condition more. And we've discovered I've got this thing called fibromuscular dysplasia, which is all the main vessels in my body are affected. So I've got it in my brain, my neck, my carotid, my heart, my liver, my kidneys, and iliac going into my legs. So it leaves me prone to heart attack, stroke, and aneurysms. So yeah, the chances are that I'll have more. And that's the hard thing, is making sure that I live my life the best I can and positively, which I genuinely do.
Yes, I mean that's the most inspirational thing, I think. Looking onto your career now, I mean, you describe yourself obviously as a speaker, TV presenter, author. You've written five books.
I've written seven now.
Seven books, have you? Sorry,
Seven
I've
books
got that wrong.
now.
Tell us. So obviously some of them are based on cookery, I believe, and then some of them are based on your actual sort of new outlook on life.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So the first books I did were healthy eating books. So I've got one, two, three, four, I think five recipe books out. Yeah, five recipe books. So heart healthy food. Obviously, I was very young. Journalists always wanted to write, "Oh, she changed what she ate after the heart attacks." No, I survived those heart attacks because I was healthy eater before, is the truth. And then most recently, I've stepped away from the cooking. I used to cook a lot on TV, but I've also got a bad back, which is a ridiculous thing to moan about when you've got a dodgy ticker, really. But I struggle. I do struggle just to stand up for a long time. I can sit down or I can walk, but just standing still really hurts my back. So I pulled away from that. Cooking, you have to stand a lot. So I've pulled away from that, and I'm doing more. I mean, obviously, I'm still a massive foodie, but I write more about positive mindset, and attitude to life and all this sort of thing now.
You did have quite the career on TV. I mean, for someone who, like myself, who's interested in looking onto your website and your career, I mean, you're very good friends with Lorraine and stuff like that, and it's great to see. Do you think that's obviously something that you want to take on a different outlook in TV, possibly, if you're given the opportunity? Like you said, you've sort of looked into more showing how your condition can, shape other people's lives and spreading awareness about it. So going from cooking to that, is that sort of the outlook now for you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at doing a documentary next year, possibly. And that is not at all to do with healthy cooking. It's also not to do with my health, because I feel like I don't want to be known as that heart attack girl or woman. I want to find out about other people's experiences. So I'm looking at doing a different, I can't talk about it right now, but a different documentary and possibly a talk show series as well. So yeah, definitely. And I think that's the important thing with life. I talk about having suffered my heart attacks as a gift, because I don't know what I'd be doing now if that hadn't have happened to me. And my life has such meaning, and everything I do really matters to me. And that's important. You know, what would I be doing? I don't know. So I can't say that having had the heart attacks has made my life worse. I would have to say it's made it better.
So following that question, so if you had the choice to go back and be the Sally B before the heart attacks, you would choose not to. That's correct. Okay.
Well, I don't know. That's difficult because would
It's
I
a tough
put
one,
my
isn't it?
family through that? That's a really difficult one, isn't it?
Because I get asked that quite a lot of the time is,
And
would
what do
you go
you
back?
say?
I say no because of the people I mean, like yourself, I'd never met yourself if I hadn't been necessarily
Yeah.
chance meeting. But it's, yeah, I say yes and no. I usually say no. Obviously, the family side and all of that, you know, you sort of think, okay, maybe they did take a big impact on everyone's lives. But, you know, my outlook to life now and, you know, my passion, you know, presenting the stuff. No, it never really existed before.
Yeah,
Amazing
exactly.
stuff I've done charity-wise never existed before. So I think there's a big argument about it, really.
I think maybe the question needs to be changed. I think it needs to be, do you regret life after? Not do we wish we hadn't, because of course I wish I was fully healthy and didn't have heart, but I don't regret my life from that moment on. And I think
Absolutely.
that's it. And you don't regret yours either.
No. So going on to the speaker, you've got such a, you know, wide career sort of thing. You obviously describe it as positive, successful, but I obviously quite liked how you said how to bank early and get rich quick. That's what I
Yeah,
live for.
that's a book my mum wrote, and that was the phrase she put to me, how to bunk off early and get rich quick. Because she, you know, when I was younger, I've never had a traditional 9 to 5 job ever. And I used to say, well, okay, she, you know, when I was living at home with my parents, they used to say, well, maybe you need to be paying for yourself for a bit. Have you thought about getting a job? And I'll go, okay. All right, well, I'll get a job, but I don't want to work between after 3 o'clock. And actually, I don't want to work between May and August. And actually, I don't want to work weekends. So it was always difficult for me to get a job that, you know, ticked all my boxes, hence the career
Absolutely.
I've had probably.
Yeah. And that comes through with the stuff you do now, is such, you know, you very much, I mean, your self-belief is, you know, amazing to look at because of the wide span you do from, you know, you do the speaking, you say, right, this is what I have to offer from the table, obviously, your mindset and your, you know, recovery, and then obviously your coaching. So is
Yeah.
that sort of life coaching or is that more? Just
It's
giving
all
advice.
sorts. I mean, I'll talk to anyone about anything that the truth is. And if they pay me, I'll especially do it. I mean, that's kind of my approach to my career. But I do, oh God, I coach university staff, and support them. And I coach some students and I go and give big talks to, you know, the biggest audience I've done is probably about 4,000 pounds, 4,000 people. The smallest audience I've done is two.
Really?
Yeah. And you give it the same amount of energy and priority. And I also do it online. I've got an online group that I coach so I go live with them each morning at each weekday morning at 9 o'clock and give them life coaching.
All right, nice. And charity work as well, because you were quite involved with the Air Ambulance for a bit, doing sort of presenting side of things with them. Is that something you always try and keep pursuing is doing charity with different people.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I'm still an ambassador for Air Ambulance. I also have set up Soroptimus, which you probably haven't heard of. It's an organisation that's over 100 years old, and it's all about women supporting women and girls locally and
Nice.
globally in their education and safety. So I've set up a local Soroptimus group. So we've just done a garden for a local refuge for victims of domestic abuse. Because they're not women that can go out and walk, you know, they're kind of in hiding. So we gave them a lovely garden and an outdoor space. And we're going to do some work in Africa and, you know, all sorts of things. That's all my passion work. Everything. I go to work to earn money to allow me to do those passion projects, and work for the charities. Because if you've got a voice, you may as well use it for some good.
Absolutely. And yeah, my last question to you really is, Out of this whole career, what would your advice be to someone who's trying to pursue a certain career? Because you've always just gone for it, and I think that's really the inspirational thing about you. So, what would your advice be to somebody like myself who's, starting a career off now, and maybe is getting a few no's? I'm sure you've had plenty of no's in your time as
Oh,
well.
lots, lots. Okay, so you have you got pen and paper ready here?
Have actually, yeah.
You've got, oh good, well done. You've got to, your self-belief is the strongest thing you have, and you have to know yourself inside out, and you have to follow your instinct. You know you better than anyone else, and I'm saying that from the age of 56. I've been saying 56, I'm not, I'm 57. From 57, soon to be 58, I've gone around the houses so many times, and I've always come up with an idea. And then I've spoken to lots of other people and thought everyone else will know better than me. And I've spoken to all these other people, and I've always come back to the same position where I still think my idea was best. So trust in your idea because you're a young guy. Irrelevant, you've lived. Also, every experience that you've had, it's not about celebrating the successes, it's about celebrating all the failures, all the traumas, all the no's you've had, all the times in hospital and the pain you've suffered, because that is what is your superpower now. That is your strength. So absolutely don't hide from it. Use that as your strength. And then the other thing is harness your power. Understand where your expertise lies. I had a parent say to me the other day, their daughter has been to sports uni and she wants to be a sports presenter. And she said, but I've told her she shouldn't be a sports presenter. She should just do anything. And I said, absolutely not. She should be a sports presenter. If that is her area of expertise, then stick to that because the rest, it's all too wide and you'll get lost. But become the expert in your field, because who else has got your experience? Nobody. Nobody else, Henry, has been through what you've been through. So if you're talking to people your age who've been through trauma, who've had major surgery, who've been in hospital for months on end, you are the best person to do that. So you make a program idea fit around that. And finally, just do it. Just do it. So I write books, and I have so many people say to me, well, how do I write? And the answer is you start writing. You and I don't know what we're going to say in 5 minutes. When you're writing, you don't know what you're going to write in 5 minutes. So you have to just begin, just brain dump, just start writing stuff and see what transpires, and it will take you on a journey. So if you want to present, you're doing the right thing in doing this. You just have to do it. Don't wait for anyone to notice you or give you a job. Just start doing it. Just own it.
Absolutely. I mean, this is very much I'd say a niche podcast because well, you probably don't know, it's called Down the Farm Podcast because I feel like that's very much where it sort of loops around in one circle. Is it the
Yes.
accident happened on the farm, and then it's almost like getting people to come and share their own experiences with me, if that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yes.
And I very much try and get that to that niche. And I remember you telling me that, what, 2 years ago it would have been now, if that, or
More than that, I
more than
think.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, thank you, Sally, very much for coming on with your busy timetable.
You're
Thank
welcome,
you.
Henry. It's really joyous to speak to you.
Main thing I learned from that whole chat is to never give up what you believe in. Self-belief, like Sally said, is such an important thing in this day and age. People can knock you down, but the reality of it, if you have the self-belief to achieve those goals, you might as well take a chance at it. Sally has really been a great example of this to me. Like for this podcast, I never really knew what I was doing. I still don't really know what I'm doing, to be honest with you. But I want to create it to create a outlook for me and my presenting career. And people have said to me, why are you doing it? And they think, oh, it's a bit weird and odd, but I love doing it and it's what I want to do. So that's why I make these episodes, to share with people these great stories that people have to a wider community. And if you're listening to this now and have the same idea of something else, go and try it. It could be for starting a hobby. It's actually starting something like a podcast or a business or something small, big, whatever. Just go and do it. I hope you've enjoyed the little mini sort of episode anyway, and looking forward to next week. Next week's guest as well. It's going to be a cracker. So please tune in for another episode next week. Obviously, follow us on all our social medias at Down on the Farm Podcast. Check out all the other episodes out there and stay in touch. Stay safe, everyone, and have a great day.